In a world with elves, gnomes, and dragon people, infinite possibilities. Does it ever feel like more of the same? Welcome to Gaining Advantage. Welcome to Gaining Advantage. We are using role-playing games like Dungeons & Dragons to help you make lives better. If you missed our Kickstarter, Limitless Heroics, including characters with disabilities, mental illness, and neurodivergence in 5th edition, you can still pre-order it while we finish working on it. Limitless Heroics will include D&D 5th edition game mechanics for over 450 traits. It will include over 200 new assistive magic items, over 50 different characters, all kinds of extra help and information about accessibility, and an entire section on service animals, including classes for the different kinds of animals. They're very much like character classes or sidekicks, kind of use some of that mechanics to make it. It's really cool. And so I hope that you'll check it out. You can go to inclusiverpg.com to get the pre-order sale price. It's over a third off right now. And so just not much longer will it be available for that price. Check that out now, inclusiverpg.com. And so with that said, let's get to our interview. We live in the golden age of geekery, where science fiction and fantasy have become mainstream. But after a while, it can all start to look the same, which is strange given the variety of peoples in the real world and the limitless possibilities of fiction. I am honored to have with me today someone who offers an alternative to those traditional tropes and settings, award-winning writer and game designer Colette Quach, who has a passion for mythology and folklore through non-traditional forms of storytelling. Welcome, Colette.
Hi. I'm very happy to be here, and thank you for having me on. It's really an honor.
So what would you like to tell us about you personally, specifically speaking to the tabletop role-playing game crowd?
Well, I guess I can easily just introduce myself. That's the easiest way for me. Like you said, Dale, I'm Colette. I use they or she pronouns. I am a tabletop RPG writer, as you know, and I'm also Chinese Cambodian, which is the reason why I have like a really big passion for mythology and folklore, is because of the stories my parents told me and kind of like my own personal research about, you know, how myths, and basically a lot of this time my parents would tell me stories. And they would just give me stories orally about just our families, like the things they did as a kid, which is like very different, in my basically traditional schooling where everything's written down. A lot of my stories were told through just stories, just sitting there, and they'll just randomly be like, hey, let me tell you about this. And I'm like, okay. That's how it really inspired how I write into game design. One of my first RPGs that I wrote was for the Uncaged Anthology by Ashley Warren, which was something I did right after I graduated undergrad. I really was just like, let me see what I can do. And I got accepted, and it really just grew my passion more and kind of like launched my like tabletop RPG writing till this day. And it's been like a couple of years now. So. Yeah.
All right. So tell us more about your work as a designer, advocate, and consultant.
Okay. So for me, as I know, I mentioned a little bit about doing as a designer, I always have a focus for me when I design on what stories do I want to tell that haven't been told before, really hitting through like themes and like specific questions that I want the players to address. Obviously, I mentioned Uncaged, where I just wanted to talk about the Naga, which are a Southeast Asian mythological creature that everyone that has been misconstrued through a lot of games, obviously Dungeons and Dragons, and then on the video game end, which is, you know, like World of Warcraft as one of them. And I wanted to kind of like reclaim that for myself and retell the true or like the original story of what the Naga were, and also kind of tackle the traditional, essentially narrative of like Dungeons and Dragons, which is about going into dungeons and taking stuff. But I want to do it where you actually have to return a treasure that you accidentally took, or like you took for someone and then didn't realize the effects it had on other people. So there was something that, you know, I really like to turn, as pretentious as it sounds, I really like to like want to turn like narratives and traditional things on its head. And it's what I do recently for like my like current and like the future work past Uncaged and my current work now. As a designer, obviously I've mentioned I do tabletop RPG, but I'm also doing like digital video games, which is what I'm in my, I'm in a master's program right now where I just focus mostly on digital work. But that doesn't hasn't changed how I think about it. My design and my writing is still very similar from tabletop to this one, where I wanted to turn things on its head and focus a lot on themes, which once again also puts into my advocacy and consultant work. Occasionally I do sensitivity reading for specifically Chinese and Cambodian content, as well as Chinese like Asian diaspora. I'm from America, so I just do a lot of reading for that, and it's been interesting because like people have been so gracious to like learn more and just have me read stuff, and it's been great. And it's really because I started off as, actually I used to work in my undergraduate, I used to work for a kind of like a diversity center on my campus for like my entire undergraduate career for, so like my first year in college to when I graduated, I worked for an Asian American Pacific Islander Research Center. So we did go really in depth about, you know, Asian American studies and how Asian diaspora and like the issues that, you know, went through, that Asian Americans went through specifically. And while I transitioned out of like doing like school stuff, that's the stuff I learned has still been a really big part of who I am, because my identity is really important to me. I was going through a lot of identity crisis when I was like growing up, as every every teenager growing up is.
Yep.
Realizing who I, like ethnically who I was, that I was more than just like, you know, American. I have a background. I'm a child of immigrants. My mom is from China. My dad is from Cambodia. He escaped Cambodia during the killing fields, the Cambodian genocide. So realizing all of that and realizing the importance of those of that identity and how that sticks with me, even though I'm not from or born in those countries, has really been a big part of who I was, and like kind of like that really transitioned to me in doing all of my work is really just realizing who I was, like in terms of identity, has been, yeah, it's been a really big shift to what I do now.
All right. So you're the sort of person that when Indiana Jones says it belongs in a museum, you're kind of more the opposite. Like, no, like let's give it back to the people that it actually does belong to.
Yeah. It's a, yeah, it's something super like, yeah, super strong, because there's a lot of, you know, obviously cultural background that goes into them. Probably not in terms of magic in the sense that, oh yeah, you stole this and now there are droughts and an angry monster's coming after you all. Maybe that should happen, but who knows? But yeah, I agree that, like, you know, returning those like, you know, those cultural pieces back to where they belong is a very big part of, like, you know, their own countries, like reclaiming and preservation of their own history and their own culture.
Okay, so how have you seen lives change because of your work?
Oh my God, that's a big question. I think I have, especially with Uncaged, and I talk about Uncaged only because, you know, it was my first work and it's really changed a lot. And obviously if on Twitter, Uncaged Goddess is kind of like the follow-up to the original anthology recently came out. So prepping that for them. So, but anyways, back to the original thing. When I first released Uncaged with my project, and then made a couple months later the Unbreakable Anthology, which is an anthology of by extension for Asian creators and people who like want to see Asian cultures represented in tabletop. Releasing those and seeing kind of the feedback people get about being like, yeah, this is great. This is like perfect. This is something I wanted to see in tabletop. I want to run this because like it's my culture, like my identity, or like I feel so strongly with the story, has been like super, super like great. Like it just made me feel really good because, you know, that's the impact I want people to have. And honestly, in general, I am so appreciative when people just say like, oh, I looked at your stuff and it made me think, it made me like feel some kind of emotion. Because that's my main point of like a writer and a designer is like, I just want someone to feel something, which sounds really weird, but it's really just like, I really want people to, you know, be driven, like to feel something to make people think, because I feel like that's the success of a designer or a writer is.
Oh yeah. No, yeah. Absolutely. You know, it's been said, I can't remember who said this, but people won't remember what you did. They'll remember how you made them feel.
Yeah.
Right? Because, I mean, like, that's how ultimately, you know, you can try to convey information, right? But where it actually connects with people's feelings, with their emotions, like, that's where you actually make the connection. And so, yeah, it sounds like that's exactly what you're doing. And yeah. So that's phenomenal.
Yeah, it's been such an honor just to get positive feedback. Just be like, oh, this is so great. It warms my little heart.
Mm-hmm. All right, so you just rescued a djinn from the hands of an ifrit, and it offers you 3 wishes to achieve your goals to make the world better. What do you wish for?
Me. This is just me currently in the state of, as I mentioned, a second year graduate student, is please give me a job. Please give me a full-time job. As selfish as it is, it's a struggle for, as you know, maybe every college student, university student in the history of forever, which is about, like I said, self-serving. So that's one wish. Sorry,
No, the thing is, it's not though, because if you're planning to use your education to help people, to make people's lives better using the skills and things that you're acquiring, like actually having the opportunity to use those things, that's not selfish.
Yeah, that is true. It's just like something that's like, you know, it's the weird thing about like feeling it's not selfish, but then in the sentence, it feels selfish, but then you're like, we should think about it hard enough. You're like, no, I want to do this for a reason. Another thing, so the other 2 wishes that I want to achieve is kind of like this access. I think I want access to a lot of basic needs, which is something that I've always, you know, especially in like the time currently with a lot of like things happening in the world, people are essentially struggling for various reasons. Having people not have to worry about like money or like food or like where they're gonna live, I think it needs to be something that needs to be addressed, because I feel like, you know, having to struggle that, and having, you know, me personally having like having that struggle of like having to like essentially worry about all those things really stampens people's like drive to like actually achieve what they want to do or like what they want to be. Like I said, personally, like, you know, I do freelance now as a graduate student, and it's a struggle. I'm tired all the time. But so like having, and like, I know a lot of other people having to like struggle and be like, I need to just take jobs, or like, I need to do all this because I need to live before I can do anything else, is something that I want the djinn to wish for, to make that wish happen. And the third thing is another personal thing, but obviously not selfish at all, is this wish of like being able to figure out my family history past two generations. I actually had this interesting conversation with my roommate about ancestry and stuff, and the access to like being able to see where you come from in past a couple generations, and figuring out what's going on. Even though like my parents told me a lot of stories, a lot of it's secretive or like not sure, and I'm like wondering if it's true or not. Not anything on them. I'm just like, I don't know. And especially, you know, on my, specifically, you know, on my dad's side, he had to go through the Cambodian genocide, and we lost, like, I lost my grandparents there. So I never met my grandparents on my dad's side, as well as like two relatives that I never met. And just in Cambodia in general, a lot of history and a lot of culture was like wiped out. So a lot of people either lost it or they're trying to like find it and like reclaim it for their own. And as well as a lot of like Asian countries, a lot of their stories, well, obviously recorded now, in the past, a lot of it's told through oral storytelling. So, and if no one tells that story, it's gone. So yeah, I feel like that wish is just having the access to figure out my own history and being able to just be like, all right, this is what's going on past my two generations of my family.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. All right. So what one message would you like to give gamers who are members of marginalized communities?
I think one message I give to gamers who are members of marginalized communities is like, be vocal and be like open to what you want and what you want in games. Because I think obviously I wanted to make the change of, you know, I want to see non-Western, non-European cultures in tabletop RPGs. So I'll just make it myself. Not everyone can do that, or not everyone wants to do that. So saying that they want, like, you know, being vocal about like, hey, I want this in my tabletop RPGs, or like, you know, talking about it in spaces is, I think, really important. And also like analyzing past work and being like, not in both critique and also just have a discussion around them. Obviously, like one of the for note is Oriental Adventures, which I know some of my the people I worked with did that, and just talk about that adventure or like that series and break it down, which I think might have been like a subtle way that turned into Unbreakable, because people were like, Oriental Adventures is essentially whack. So let's try to do that, but actually put Asian people in the design team.
Well, how novel.
I know, right? It's
a great idea.
It's wild, right? It's what a novel concept. So yeah, voicing that and like having the discussions. So, you know, that's something I think I want them to hear.
Okay, and so what message would you like to give gamers who are not members of those marginalized communities?
I think as everyone has, you know, a lot of people say, listen to them, advocate for those voices of those marginalized communities, and don't speak over them. It's, you know, we can, for those communities, they can just speak up for them, in the sense that, like, you know, hey, these people have critiques and opinions and have been having discussions around these topics, around these games, you should listen to them. And because it's something that's super important, is to not have, you know, it's not just being allies to those communities, it's being like, from like my former work as doing like activism and advocacy, is being an accomplice. It's being actively doing stuff, actively putting action into that, whatever you, however you can, because you have that privilege to do so. And also, if for example, someone wants to, I think, has an idea of like, oh, I want to make something that's like not part of my community, but it's a part of another marginalized community, is that you can do that. Just obviously make sure you have people on that team, designers, writers, and, you know, active creatives on that, on the team specifically. But also, you know, if worst comes to worst, have them look at it, have them read it, and give feedback is super important, because obviously you're not barred from doing work that's not your own, but making sure it's delivered authentically and, you know, honestly and without problems, essentially.
Yeah. All right. So what projects, I mean, you're busy with school, right? But what projects are you working on now? That, is there anything that you can talk about?
Yeah, I have a couple. So don't worry. Like I said, I am the worst person possible of doing freelance work at the same time. I'm about to start my thesis as a graduate student. But in terms of, you know, my freelance tabletop RPG work, a couple months back, I actually produced and released a book of my own, which is called Creepy Monster Compendium. It is just a fifth edition compendium of basically horror or creepy monsters, all originally designed, you know, by creators. And specifically, it's following the kind of concept of the monster theory, which is the, you know, theory of like monsters have essentially some kind of cultural or societal horror or fear, and just having that as the guiding principle, and like as those designing monsters, definitely check it out. It's on DM's Guild, and also the art is amazing. A lot of people put their heart and soul into creating these creepy horror monsters. So it's been out for a bit. I'm also working on, that's coming out, I'm currently writing, is a Queers Tabletop RPG. It was funded on Kickstarter a couple months back. I'm currently writing that. But yeah, it's a tabletop RPG by Son of Oak, which is the creators of City of Mist. And it's about this basically a Super Sentai RPG about, you know, fighting ignorance and basically destroying, you know, normative thinking. Can't say much, but it's essentially, you know, Super Sentai is like Power Rangers and like, essentially Power Rangers. I grew up on Power Rangers. So that's all I think about. It's very fun. It's exciting. So definitely check it out when it comes out. It's currently still on, obviously, Kickstarter if you want to late fund it. It's great. It's exciting. I'm doing a couple other things like that. For my thesis, actually, I'm actually working on... So a thesis is a little bit different on my program. I'm making a game, which is exciting. So I get to pitch my game, not here, but just like I get to make a game, which is, it's digital. So it is not a tabletop RPG, but it is a game, simply put. It is a 3D narrative adventure game about a radio host at the end of the world, back to like my original design philosophies of it's tackling questions of existentialism, the end of the world, and like, what do you want to do? What do you want to do when like the inevitable happens, and how do you want to be remembered? It's very academic at the same time, you know, making a game. So that's what I'm also working on, and I most likely will be working on for my next year as of my final year as a grad student.
You know, a lot of people are thinking about the end of the world right now. And so hopefully you get that done before we get there. So
yeah, a lot of my professors, when I like was starting initially designing the concept, they're like, very topical, not in a weird way. They're just like, you know, yeah, it tracks. It fits really well right now. So I'm like, yep.
That but was at the like, same time, it, I mean, the things that you're talking about, it's things that people are thinking about, not just the end of the world, but, you know, kind of how we think about ourselves and you know, legacies and all that kind of stuff. I mean, that's all really important. So that sounds really exciting.
Yeah. I'm super excited to like work on that and build a team for that. So that's really exciting.
All right. So we will have all your contact information in our show notes, including links to those products you're talking about. So where's the one best place that you'd like people to start to learn more about you or to contact you?
Twitter is where I'm usually at. It is, obviously it'll be in the notes, but is my first name at last name, because the one that I usually use for my username has been taken. So it is CollettQuach. That's it. You'll find me there. And then I should have a link tree that will take you to my website, as well as a direct link to my DMs Guild work. And yeah, you can usually contact me there, which is very exciting. You should do that for any particular reason. So yeah.
All right. Well, Collette, thanks for coming on the show. Everyone check out those links in the show notes. So when we have people available, we also like to include a segment on the show called Playing the Other, where people with disabilities, neurodiversity, and mental illness come and talk about their experiences and how that relates to gaming. So it's also a chance, if you happen to be a content creator, to tell us about some of the cool stuff that you've made, or if there's just anything that you want to plug, we let you do that. And if you'd like to be a guest for that segment, you can just go to our website, wormworkspublishing.com, click on the contacts button, and just send us a note. So I want to let you know that while this started out as a bi-weekly show, you may have noticed it hasn't been quite as regular lately. We want to get it more regular, but we've been busy on so many things, and there's so many things that we want to do. We're going to make this a monthly show going forward, and that's going to allow us to make it better, make it a little more regular, but also produce more regular content as articles and supplements on our website. And so if you want to be able to catch all that, you don't want to miss any of it, the easiest thing to do is to go to our website, wormworkspublishing.com, and sign up for our newsletter. Go right now. There's just for signing up, you get dozens and dozens of 4K combat maps, all of them free. You get a subclass, also free. You get discounts, other specials. You get the latest news and blog posts. There's all kinds of stuff that we couldn't include in the book because of licensing, news about our future products, all of that, wormworkspublishing.com. Also, we have a Patreon. If you'd like to support our ongoing work, and I already posted an article there recently about more plans for after this project, and you can just go to our Patreon. There's a link in the show notes for that. And we really appreciate the support that we get. And speaking of, we have a bunch of new patrons since our last shout out. And so a huge thank you to David, Echo, Mickey, Brian, Sylvan, and Ian. Thank you so much for your support. Boy, it's just, you don't know how much that means. And so if you see this show being helpful, encourage you, if you're watching this on YouTube, hit that like button. If you'd like to see more of this kind of thing, please subscribe. And if you know people that need to hear this, pass it on to them. Let them know that this is available. And if you think that, man, everybody needs to hear this, this is something different, this is something new, this is something fresh, then pass it on to your social media friends. And don't forget those podcast ratings. It really makes a difference. So thank you all for your time. And we'll close with this question. What diversity would you like to see more of in RPGs?